The next case for argument this morning is Smale v. Gonzalez. Your opposing counsel, I don't think, is present yet. We've changed this, so we'll go with the next case and pick you up later. U.S. versus Smith. Mr. Campbell.
Good morning. My name is Stanley Campbell. I'm here representing Charles Smith. This is a case in which Mr. Smith is bringing a challenge based upon a violation of the Fourth Amendment, and there are two bases upon which he is making that contention or that claim. One is that there was a failure to comply with 3109, knock and announce prior to entry, and secondly, that the entry was made without a reasonable belief that the person they were seeking, Charles Smith, was present in the dwelling. This is a case in which Detective Steve Stone, who's employed by the Warrants Division of the Allen County Sheriff's Department, had three warrants for Mr. Smith, two felony, one misdemeanor. Only one of the warrants contained an address of 3602 Weiser Park, which was the address that Detective Stone went to. The other two warrants had different addresses. Detective Stone had received a tip that Mr. Smith was located at the 3602 Weiser Park address. The tip also advised Detective Stone that Mr. Smith was driving a gray Mercury. When Officer or Detective Stone arrived, he noticed that there was a gray vehicle parked outside the residence, but it was a gray Ford as opposed to being a gray Mercury. He went to the house.
Yeah, but was there another factor? Hadn't his own research revealed that that was an address that Stone had used?
I think the only address he had was the address that was listed on the warrant.
Right, but what I'm saying, hadn't he done some research, his own research, that had also determined that was an address where Smith had resided?
I don't think he had done that prior to the time that he went to execute the warrant.
Okay.
And I believe, if I remember correctly, the search as to who was the actual owner of the property indicated it was owned by a Dolly Elliott, who was the lady that actually responded once he entered and announced that he was from the Allen County Sheriff's Department. When he arrived, the door, front door to the residence, was a bit ajar. He knocked on the door, no response. He positioned himself with 1 foot inside the residence, 1 foot out on the porch, and his body halfway in between, and then at that point announced that he was from the Allen County Sheriff's Department. Mr. Smith's argument is that Detective Stone entered into the residence prior to the time that he had announced who he was and what his purpose was for entering the residence. That's the part of it that he challenges under 3109, in that he did not wait a reasonable time from the knock before entering and announcing his presence. The second part of it is that there was not a reasonable belief that Mr. Smith was present in the dwelling. There were three addresses. He had a 1 in 3 chance. There was a tip that said he was at Weiser Park. Detective Stone testified that in his estimation, the identification of the vehicle as being a gray Mercury was added credibility to the tipster. But in fact, our position is that it detracted from his credibility because it turns out the car was not a Mercury but was, in fact, a Ford. And for those reasons, Mr. Smith is urging the court to reverse the ruling of the trial court, find that the evidence that was found inside the residence, as well as his subsequent statements, should be suppressed and award him a new trial. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Campbell. Ms. Nomi?
Good morning. Tina Nome for the United States of America. Judge Williams, to respond to your question, not only did we have the tip from America's Most Wanted, or Indiana's, I'm sorry, Most Wanted, that Mr. Smith was living at the residence and driving this gray Ford product, but Officer Stone did go into the police database and learned that, in fact, Mr. Smith had given the Weiser Park address as one of his residences. And Mr. Campbell is correct that one of the three warrants did list the 3602 Weiser Park address.
And then he did that before, didn't he, before he went out? That's what I was trying to clarify. I thought it was before.
He did. And unfortunately, Mr. Campbell was not at the district court lawyer at the suppression hearing. That was another lawyer. I, however, was, and that was what he had done. He'd done the research. We didn't develop this point in a lot of detail because the reason we got to the motion to suppress hearing was the defendant had argued that there was a search done prior to the search warrant being obtained. So we set out the facts at the hearing and started talking about what had occurred. There got to be a little confusion over whether or not Detective Stone had straddled the threshold. And when the briefing came, the defense argued that 3109 had been violated. Well, 3109 had not been violated because the knock and announce rule does not apply to state officers effectuating a state arrest warrant, and also because we argued there had been no forcible entry. That was really the crux of the suppression hearing, because it was our position that the door had just opened when he was trying to knock and announce his presence, and there's just no dispute that he knocked loudly enough to get the people to know he was there, because Mr. Smith, who took the stand at the suppression hearing, indicated that he heard the knocking, he heard the booms, and he heard Allen County Sheriff's Department. So he knew that the police were there. He also knew he had active warrants. But it was because of the fact that Detective Stone talked about straddling the threshold that the government had responded that, in fact, because we had a valid arrest warrant and because we believed him to be there, we could have entered the residence and not had waited. I mean, and if you look at what Detective Stone did, he when he's knocking and announcing and he's able to get Ms. Elliott's attention, she says, "Hold on, I'm coming," and he stands at the door and he waits for her to come down the stairs. And then he tells her, we've got a warrant for Charles Smith. We know he's here. You'll have to go get him. She says, "Hold on," and she heads upstairs to get him. At this point, there's no doubt that he's there. And Detective Stone then puts his foot inside the door because while the door is open and while she's gone upstairs to find Mr. Smith, he sees the marijuana not only on the table but on the floor. And then he yells up to Charles Smith. We know for sure that he's actually leaning in the doorway at this point, and he says, "Hold on, I'm coming." And Mr. Smith comes down the stairs, and Detective Stone then goes and effectuate the arrest of Mr. Smith. So there was evidence on the record for the court to find a sufficient basis for the warrants officers to believe that Mr. Smith was actually there when they were executing it. I mean, they went there to go execute the warrant. Having got the tip, they weren't going to wait. They believed him to be there, so they went that morning and were able to find him. The violation of the knock and announce rule, I don't believe that the evidence supports that there was a violation of the knock and announce rule because of the arguments I made earlier about the fact that Mr. Smith knew they were down there, Ms. Elliott knew they were down there, there was no destruction of physical evidence, there was no forcible entry, and there's the cases, the line of Langford and Sutton and Brown out of this court that indicate that even a violation of the knock and announce rule is not going to result in the suppression of evidence based on the inevitable discovery rule, and in this case, we argued that having the arrest warrant and believing him to be there, we would have arrested him in the home. we would have seen the marijuana in plain view. Having seen the marijuana in plain view and having the arrest warrant for him, we were going to get a search warrant because they didn't consent to search, and that's exactly what the officer did. We then put him on the couch and secured him in cuffs, did a search of the area around him and found the gun in the shoebox next to the couch, did a protective sweep upstairs, and then found the gun upstairs. Once the search warrant was obtained, then the police officers were led to the crack cocaine and the powder cocaine on the kitchen cupboard. So it's our position that the district court correctly found that there had been no Fourth Amendment violations, and in fact, we asked that the conviction be affirmed. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. How much time? You have 5 minutes, Mr. Campbell, if you want to use any.
Very briefly, the purpose behind raising 3109 is not to contend that that there was a violation of 3109 that would warrant a reversal, because in fact this was not a federal officer executing a federal warrant. We're raising 3109, the knock and announce requirement and the principle of it, because it is a principle that has been recognized as being one of the elements of a Fourth Amendment analysis, which is what Mr. Smith is raising. I think the record, insofar as the sequence of events that Detective Stone followed, is somewhat conflicting, but our read of it is that at pages 9 and pages 16 of the transcript, he pretty clearly says that what happened was he knocked, he entered into the residence by placing one of his feet inside the residence and standing halfway in the door frame, and at that point announced he was from the Allen County Sheriff's Department. So our position is that there was an entry into the residence before, in fact, there had been an announcement of who he was and the purpose for which he was there.
Thank you, Mr. Campbell. And you took this case by appointment, did you?
Yes.
Thank you very much for your representation of your client. We appreciate your volunteering to do so. The case will be taken under advisement.